Will Finland and Sweden joining NATO make Europe safer? Despite warnings from Russia, both countries made the decision after the invasion of Ukraine. How will the Kremlin respond? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. Finland and Sweden decided against joining NATO for many years. Both have a long history of remaining neutral during wars and staying out of military alliances. All that changed when Russia invaded Ukraine. Leaders of the Nordic nations blame President Vladimir Putin for endangering security in Europe. For Finland, the decision could mean abandoning its policy of avoiding confrontation with its enormous neighbor. Russia's deputy foreign minister warned of far-reaching consequences. The Kremlin says it could send more troops to the 1,300-kilometer border with Finland. But becoming a member of the Western military alliance isn't guaranteed, as Stepp Vassen reports from the German capital, Berlin.
Finland and Sweden will be warmly welcomed into the NATO military alliance. That was the message from all NATO foreign ministers at a meeting in Berlin, except for one. Turkey has made objections, saying the Nordic nations are hosting what it calls terrorist organizations, pointing among others at the PKK, the Kurdish Workers' Party.
To be frank, I'm a bit confused, because I had a telephone discussion with the President Erdogan, that is approximately a month ago, and actually he took up himself, before I had the possibility to do that, that you're applying for NATO membership, and we will assess it favorably. I thanked him, and he was very pleased receiving my thanks.
For Turkey, there was nothing confusing about its demands.
They need to stop supporting terrorist organizations. The defense industry restriction or the prohibitions on export permits imposed to an ally such as Turkey should definitely be lifted. I'm not saying this is a bargaining chip. I'm saying it as a requirement of alliance.
Russia's President Vladimir Putin has called the possible northern expansion of NATO a threat. Finland joining would double the border between NATO and Russia. But NATO's minister said Putin has himself to blame after invading Ukraine. They're confident the issue with Turkey will be resolved soon.
I heard almost across the board very strong support for Finland and NATO joining the alliance if that's what they choose to do. And I'm very confident that we will reach consensus on that.
All 30 NATO states have to approve the admission of new members, a process that normally takes months. But ministers in Berlin said they want to speed this up to prevent the so-called grey period in which Finland and Sweden would not be protected by NATO's Article 5, which says an attack on one is an attack on all.
It was expected that as soon as Finland and Sweden applied for NATO membership, the process would be smooth and swift. But Turkey's position may now have slowed this down. No one can say for sure when the two more flags will be added to this collection. Stepp Vassen, Al Jazeera in Berlin.
Sweden and Finland have been official NATO partners since 1994 and have taken part in several NATO missions since the end of the Cold War. Let's take a look at what they need to become full members. NATO candidates must be democracies, have an open market economy, and be able to contribute militarily to the alliance. Finland and Sweden check all those boxes, have strong militaries, and Sweden is a major supplier of weapons. Once the application goes through, the parliaments of all 30 NATO countries need to approve new members. Finland says it already meets NATO's target of spending 2% of its GDP on defense. Sweden expects to reach that by 2028. All right, let's go ahead and bring in our guests. In Finland's capital, Helsinki, Owen McNamara, visiting research fellow at the Finnish Institute of International Affairs. In Brussels, in Belgium, Teresa Fallon, director of Center for Russia-Europe-Asia Studies. And in Russia's capital, Moscow, Pavel Felgenhauer, a defense and military analyst. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Teresa, let me start with you today. I guess the big question right now is, will Finland and Sweden joining NATO make Europe safer?
Well, this has been a long time coming. I think with the invasion, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, it has been a hinge moment. Let's remember, Sweden has been neutral for 200 years, and this is a huge change for Finland as well. So yes, I think that this will fill a vacuum that's in that area, and the Baltics feel a whole lot safer. There was the Lennart Meri conference in Estonia this weekend, and everyone was pretty much dancing for joy about this event. Yes, there's a small fly in the ointment now with Turkey, but I think that overall, both Sweden and Finland bring a lot to the table. In addition, looking forward, also Arctic security will be tied up with the Baltics as well. So I think that this is a win for everybody, and it shows how upset and angry the public was with the brutality of what's going on in Ukraine. I mean, daily news about Russian soldiers brutalizing civilians. I think something just, you know, turned a switch in these countries that were traditionally neutral, that they needed to join NATO, that it wasn't good enough just to be a partner, that they needed Article 5 to feel safe.
Owen, Teresa there was just talking about how historic this all is, that countries that have traditionally been neutral would now want to join NATO. I want to ask you from your perspective, if Sweden and Finland do join NATO, how significant a redrawing of Europe's security map would it constitute?
Well, it's certainly historic. But whether it's all that, whether it's such a big thing, well, it is and it isn't. I mean, Finland and Sweden, I mean, they both joined the European Union in 1995. They have been politically aligned since then with the European Union and with the West. They've just been militarily non-aligned, but they've been cooperating very, very closely with NATO for many, many years. They're as good as NATO members, essentially, in terms of their interoperability, their military operability, and their political situational awareness with the alliance. They're as good as NATO members without the Article 5 guarantee. So this essentially just adds an extra layer, which would give them NATO's collective defense and access to NATO's nuclear deterrence, so that they're never again alone to face down Russian aggression like we've seen in Ukraine. So it would certainly redraw the map of European security, but particularly in security in Northern Europe. It would make things crystal clear with NATO's contingency planning in the region. And this is good news, not just for societies in Finland and Sweden, but it's also good news for all the other NATO nations around the Baltic Sea, for other Nordic states, Iceland, Norway and Denmark, but also for the Baltic states and Poland as well.
Pavel, Russia has said that Finland and Sweden joining NATO is a serious mistake, that it would have far-reaching consequences, and that both countries should not assume that Moscow would not respond. What kind of a response or what kind of a retaliation would be expected?
Well, Moscow, of course, does not like this at all, and it has very vocally said that this is a wrong move, that this will decrease security in Europe and decrease security for the two Nordic nations. The Russian foreign minister was talking about possible military technical countermeasures, but the Kremlin took a more softer approach, which actually is typical for the Russian policies in any kind of century. The Russian Tsar is always the peacemaker. So the Kremlin said, well, it will depend what really happens there. And today, on Monday, the 16th of May, President Putin actually said that we don't have any problems with Sweden or Finland, and them just joining NATO is also not much of a problem, too.
Teresa, from your vantage point, how do you think the Kremlin might respond?
Well, it's very difficult to predict what is in President Putin's mind. I think that he has enough on his plate right now with Ukraine. And Finland, for example, has already experienced cyber attacks when they first announced that they were contemplating joining NATO. So I think that there has been a lot of saber rattling towards both Finland and Sweden. But I think they've made their own calculations and they've decided to join the club.
Owen, when it comes specifically to Finland, do you think that this decision means that the country is going to abandon its policy of avoiding confrontation with Russia?
Well, no, I don't. I think that dimension can still be preserved within NATO. But one thing I would like to say, I mean, the view from Helsinki is certainly right now that Russia has overstretched itself, and that is the view of most military analysts in Ukraine. So it is very unlikely to pose much of a threat, despite its saber rattling right now to Finland and Sweden in its from its northern military district. But of course, Nordic societies, if you understand these societies, it's all about the long term, you know, stretching out prosperity for as long as possible, the next generation and social development, sustainability of the Nordic model. And of course, all that needs to be secured. So we don't know in 5 or 10 years how Russia might look like, whether Russia will be more aggressive, even more aggressive than it is now, or whether it will have gotten a right bloody nose in Ukraine and will have decided to mend its fences with the West and try reintegration with the West once again. We just don't know. And the Nordic states, Finland and Sweden, they don't know either. So NATO membership really is to lock down their prosperity, lock down their social progress for the long term. It's not really about the short term, even though, as Theresa, I think, has said, that a switch has flipped. But it is with a long term outlook, if that is not too paradoxical.
Pavel, go ahead.
Part of that, but if I can just finally, if I can just briefly just refi this to your question that, yeah, and obviously in the long-term picture, Finland and Sweden populations are very, very angry right now. But if Russia wants to wheel back from its aggression, I'm sure both states will keep the door open, will keep the channel for dialogue open to talk Russia out of some of its brutal aggression that we are seeing in Ukraine right now.
Pavel, despite what Russia might be saying publicly, just how concerned is Moscow about the possibility of Finland and Sweden joining NATO?
Well, there's a practical thing that Russia cannot deal at the same time with Ukraine and the expansion of Finland and Sweden joining NATO. There's simply not enough capability for all those talk about military technical measures being taken. Well, not much can be taken. All the conventional capabilities are more or less used right now. Brandishing the nuclear deterrent, well, yes, it's there, but it was always been there, so not much Russia can do. And that's why President Putin was on Monday 16th of May was very, very kind of soft, he said, I would say. He said that we don't have a problem with these countries. If they join NATO, that doesn't change anything much, the formality of joining. But later on, if there's American, because, of course, Russia is really zeroing on right now, the Kremlin on American, a standoff with the United States. And NATO, as Putin says, is an American weapon aimed at Russia. So American missiles or any kind of other infrastructure appearing in Finland and Sweden, that means Russia will react. Again, if it has the capability and deals with Ukraine or doesn't deal with Ukraine. So that's kind of postponed to the future. Right now, Russia will not really do anything drastic. There was some fear expressed, especially in Finland, that Russia could use this gray period when Finland has applied for membership, but this doesn't yet have the formality of the Article 5 guarantees, that Russia could make some kind of move. Well, that's not happening. Russia simply does not have the capability to do that right now, even if it did want to, but apparently it doesn't want to too right now. So it's going right now. It's not going further than a rhetoric.
Theresa, Turkey has expressed reservations about Finland and Sweden joining NATO. They have objections, and they've laid out some demands. I want to ask you, from your perspective, is this something that's going to present a major hiccup when it comes to the accession of Sweden and Finland to NATO? Is this something that could delay things, or will everybody who's involved be able to get past this?
I'm based here in Brussels, and I think a lot of people were rather surprised by this because security is such an important issue that all of these conversations happened. For example, the Prime Minister of Finland noted that they spoke to Turkey back in April, and Erdogan said that they would support Finnish Finland's joining of NATO. So I think everyone's been taken aback by this, and it's not something you can mess around with. I mean, if you assert that you're going to join NATO and then a country blocks your membership, because NATO, you need unanimity, all 30 members must agree, so that Turkey is kind of maybe forcing them to twist in the wind. I know many leaders said that this is something that will require conversation, that this is nothing to be concerned about. But I think it sends a worrying message to my mind from Turkey, that they might be using this as an opportunity to, you know, use some leverage and get what they want. But I think that, you know, as an alliance, that's not really the smartest move at this point. And there has been a lot of goodwill in many respects with the Bayraktar, the incredible Turkish drones that they have been supplying to Ukraine. So I think that Erdogan maybe overplayed his hand at this point, but let's see. Maybe everything can be smoothed over. Maybe there was a misunderstanding. But I think that, you know, security issues, defense issues are really very, very serious, and that this kind of horse trading shouldn't be done in public.
Owen, it's being reported that Turkey's objections focus on what it considers to be both Finland and Sweden's leniency towards the Kurdistan Workers Party, the PKK. It's a group that they consider to be what they call a terrorist organization. Is there a lot of concern in Finland right now that this could delay things, that this could be a major hiccup?
Well, it is true that there is some sympathy towards the PKK from some sections of the Finnish and Swedish political systems, but not all. We've seen a trick like this pulled before by President Erdogan. He did it just before NATO's 70th anniversary meeting in London, right at the end in December 2019. There was a lot of where he tried to do the same thing. Unless the rest of NATO recognizes the PKK as terrorists, then he would block extra defense provisions for NATO's enhanced forward presence for the Baltic states and Poland. He's kind of making a domestic point that he's not happy about the lie of the land regarding other perceptions of the PKK within NATO, that he's a strong man, as he always projects himself. But there's often a lot of diplomacy taking place behind the scenes. He was talked down at the end of 2019. And the mood in Stockholm and the mood in Helsinki is that they have enough, and there is enough within the alliance to talk him down this time as well. Erdogan and Turkey are quite isolated. And right now, you know, they're strategically very important for Western strategic interests in Ukraine, as Teresa has mentioned. But of course, it is not in Erdogan's interest to be isolated within NATO either. So he has to make a choice.
Owen, if I could also follow up with you, if things are able to get back on track now, if things are able to be smoothed over when it comes to Turkey's objections, how long might the accession to NATO take when it comes to Finland and Sweden?
So what we're looking at now in the next week or two, we're looking at Finland and Sweden filing their applications for NATO membership. It is likely then that Finland and Sweden will be issued an invitation to join NATO at NATO's Madrid summit in June. And from there, depending on different parliamentary procedures and different parliamentary protocols, because, of course, NATO is an alliance of consensus, all 30 NATO member states will have to agree. There is no fixed time limit on this, but the most ambitious or fast-track perception on this is that it could take as little as 4 months from June, and wider estimates stretch that out to 18 months. So 4 to 18 months seems to be the range for the membership ratification process.
Pavel, one of the reasons that President Putin was so adamantly opposed to Ukraine joining NATO was that he didn't want NATO on Russia's border. But, you know, Finland has a 1,300-kilometer border, land border with Russia. Sweden has a maritime border with Russia. Did President Putin think that things would go this far, that he could be confronted with the possibility of NATO getting to Russia's border in this particular way?
Finland actually joining NATO in Moscow, yes, it was a bit of a surprise because it was the relationship with Helsinki was always considered as a privileged one since the Soviet times. Since after World War II, when Finland during the Cold War was basically a Russian-Soviet protectorate. And it was believed in Moscow that that was very good for Moscow and good for the Finns. Well, the Finns, Finnish people have a very somewhat different kind of recollection of those times. They don't like them. And the Finnish military, as the Swedish military, for all the time, they were always thinking about defending against Russian Soviet troops. They were not they were neutral, but not preparing to fight anyone else except. So there's different perceptions in Moscow and in those two countries of what's really about what they should do and how they can react. It's also important to notice that for Russia, Ukraine, and for Putin, Ukraine is very special. He has many times said that Ukrainians and Russians are the same people, basically one folk, and that they should be together. And pulling Ukraine away from Russia is splitting the historical Russian nation. Of course, Finland was also once part of the Russian Empire, but no one really in Moscow considers Finns to be Russian. So there's a different attitude. They're seen as foreign. And also NATO had, in the beginning of the 2000s, taken in the Baltic states that were once Soviet republics, and they have a border with Russia, and actually they're closer to Moscow than Finland. And so that does not really change that much in the strategic outlook. So the Russian military, the Russian general staff, will surely be saying that this is a big threat, that they need more money from the budget, they should build new bases, they need new weapons. They'll be playing up this threat.
Teresa, Owen touched on this in an earlier answer, the fact that both Finland and Sweden essentially broke their strict neutralities when they joined the EU, when they became partners to NATO in the 1990s. I'm curious, from your perspective, would they have joined NATO at some point anyway, or was joining NATO really a non-starter until Russia invaded Ukraine?
I think that they've had a very careful balancing act and carefully cultivated neutrality. Finland has a different form of neutrality compared to Sweden, but Sweden historically, as I noted, 200 years, so two centuries, Putin's actions in Ukraine have upset their calculus. They realize they cannot be safe at this partnership level with NATO, and that the only thing that will keep their civilians safe, because it's overwhelming, it's about 77% of the population wants them to join NATO. This is unheard of. And they want to do it together because Finland and Sweden are kind of partners in all of this. And most analysts assume that Sweden would be first and Finland would follow. But in this case, Finland is really leading. Sweden is joining them. And it looks like it will be a joint application. But I think that this shows that this is a hinge point in history. Countries that for two centuries were willing to remain neutral in order to have good neighborly relations with Russia have recalculated that because of this horrific war in Ukraine, and they see the brutality of Russian soldiers. So they want more safety, and this is why they're joining NATO. And I think that the whole region, you asked earlier about the landscape, the strategic landscape has changed dramatically should this go through. Some people have described it as a NATO lake, the Baltic. So you have increased security in an area that kind of lacked, was a bit of a vacuum for security. So this will change dramatically. And I think this is going to be very hard for Putin to explain to the public that instead of pushing back on NATO, it's actually got two new members.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Owen McNamara, Teresa Fallon, and Pavel Felgenhauer. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. For me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here, bye for now.